My dad, Pastor Salem, had a desire to tell the world of the saving grace of Jesus Christ and to encourage believers in their faith. I'm Mike Salem. That continues to be our purpose here at CWH, to deliver Dad's timeless messages to the world. So gather together with us to share Christian Worship Hour's broadcast with your family and friends each week. Today, Dad speaks on the burdens we cannot share and the burdens that we should share. We hope today's sermon titled, "The Sharing and Bearing of Burdens," will be of assurance to you and bring you peace and joy as you begin your week. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem. I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And every week I say the same old thing. I'm so glad to be back and worshiping with all of you all around the world. And the family of God gathers around the throne of grace, and we worship Jesus, that beautiful, beautiful Savior, and the wonderful Heavenly Father. And to those who don't know Jesus, oh, then we're looking forward to people all over the world opening their heart and asking Jesus in. So we're just so happy to be with you. God bless you, everyone. And we're going to be talking about burdens today, bearing burdens, bearing our own burdens and bearing the burdens of others. And that's a Christian ministry that we need, and I know that we're all willing to work at it and do the work of the Lord. We're looking at Psalm 108 today, where the psalmist said, "O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praises, even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp, I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, thy truth reaches unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above the earth, that thy beloved may be delivered, and serve thee with a right hand, and answer me." And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're such a great God, and you do answer our prayers. And sometimes you have to say no, and that's just fine, because we always pray that your will might be done. And sometimes, Lord, we do ask for things we don't need, or it's the wrong time, or something else. So we just know that every time we pray, we know that you hear us. And we're asking you, Lord, to bless us and help us to honor your name and bring glory to the name of Jesus. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Barb's going to sing a song. I know you're going to enjoy it. "This Old Place." God bless you, Barb.
Cleaning up at this old place, everything inside is gone. We sold the house to a stranger here. Our families moved on. The cedar chest, the rocking chair, the old piano too. They have moved to another place, so here's what I must do. Remember, this is not my home. I just live here for a while. This old place, 'cause heaven holds much more. This old house reminds me of our earthly house of clay.
trade for one that's nullified when our Lord returns one day. In our Father's house above, there's a mansion bright and fair, and the ones we loved in this old
Barb, and isn't that the truth? This old house, this old place, it's all going away. I know my home where I was raised now is almost all gone. And but oh, what we have prepared for us in heaven. No, Paul says, I can't even put into words, I can't describe the beauties of heaven. And he just got a glimpse of it. And someday we're going to walk into that streets of gold, that beautiful city of God. We're going to see God, and we're going to see the saints of all ages and our loved ones. Oh, my, it just makes you thrill to think about it. But that's why we're having that service today, to think about heaven and to tell people how to get to heaven. And if you don't know for sure, I'm going to tell you how right now, before we do anything else, you just go to Jesus, you just talk to Jesus and just pray to Jesus and just simply tell him, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I can't go to heaven with my sins. I'm a sinner. I ask you to come into my heart, take away my sins, and I'll turn from my evil ways. Anything wrong, I'll turn from them and follow you. Thank you, Jesus. You just pray that. And it says, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's what the Christian Worship Hour is all about. It's to encourage the people of God and to tell the people that don't know Jesus how to get to heaven. And there it is, as plain as day. A child can do it. I was 10 years old when I accepted Jesus. And that's 87 years ago now. And I remember it as though it was last night when I knelt down at that bench in that country schoolhouse And that's just what I prayed. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. I'll serve you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we want to look at some of our letters. Got so many good letters. And we hope that more of you will write. And I'm going to give you the address here in just a few minutes. And we'd like to know where you live. And we'd like to know a little bit about you. And maybe you got a question you'd like to ask. Maybe, oh, Lord have mercy, maybe you got a complaint about this, the service. And you maybe want to tell me how I could preach better. Well, you know, I know all the ways to preach better, so don't waste your time. I'll just plug it away, you know, the way I am. I've been 75 years, my 75th year, so I probably won't be a lot of changing, will I? Well, our first letter comes from Aurora, Missouri, and they write and say, please send me Heart of a Shepherd DVD. I'm very anxious to share it with my neighbors. I'll see you Sunday morning at 8:30 for church here in my Aurora living room. God bless you and the whole staff. And this is just exactly what you want. We want you to do. We want you to take this Heart of a Shepherd. It's how I came to know Jesus, 10 years old, and served him. Now here I am, 86 years later, 87 years later, walking with Jesus, see? And it tells how to come to Jesus and trust Jesus. And so you need to get this film and then show it to people. It's an hour long. And we'll send it out on a free will offering basis. And if you don't have any money, you're dead broke, or you just don't have it, you write to us. We'll send you free in charge. And somebody else will help us with the postage. We'll get it done. And these people here, they're going to share it with my neighbors. And that's what we want you to do. You see, maybe you have neighbors and they don't know Jesus. They've never asked Jesus into their heart. And it's hard for you to witness to them. And you don't know just what to say and all. And so you said, oh, I got a film here. I want you to see it. It's really a wonderful picture. It's about a little boy accepted Jesus. And he grew up and was a preacher. He wasn't very good, but he was a preacher. And you come and listen to that. And they'll come and then, well, I'll tell you on that film how to accept Jesus. And I'll tell them just what I've been telling you. And people can come to Jesus and you can be a missionary. And it's called Heart of a Shepherd. I'll give you the address just a few minutes. Well, here, you're not going to believe this. Whittlesea, Victoria, Australia. Australia, isn't that wonderful that they worship with us? When I was a kid, we didn't have television, and we had a radio that didn't work half the time. And here, these people, we're getting word from them right away. They're 9,160 miles away. And so we're just so happy when we hear from people in other countries. And what are we doing? We're finding that there are people that love the Lord. They're part of the family of God. And though they're from almost 10,000 miles away, the same Savior, the same head of the church, Jesus Christ, the same family of God, and we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and here we are talking with each other. And it's just so wonderful. So just thank you all for writing. Here's Rockland, Maine. Oh, here's a man is having trouble. This is a man that writes this letter. I struggle with sexual lust, and I pray that I will be established against it and quote this verse. And he says, I am free from fear, agitating passions, and moral conflict, and last of all, I will have constant faith in believing God's word. Now, I don't know the exact verse because there's so many different translations. And I'm plugging away for the old King James Version because I know that. I've memorized those verses and all. So, you know, you wouldn't take that away from me, would you? And so you get to the King James and you look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And Peter writes, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking him whom he may devour. And now it's the same way. It just says in the old King James. I love that King James Bible. It's a beautiful literature. And God is telling us, or Peter's telling us, through God's telling him, you be vigilant because your adversary is trying to trick you. He's trying to get you to sin and to fall away. And he does that to everybody. Maybe it's lust with this sexual lust. Maybe it's liquor. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's envy. Maybe it's jealousy. The Lord knows what it might be, see? Because he comes in different ways. We're all different people. And so what you do is you go to Jesus. You ask Jesus, I give you strength. And Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. And God will give you strength that you never had before, and you can beat the game. Houston, Texas. I am a Christian and try to watch Christian Worship Hour every Saturday. I thank God for you and your warm and loving style of good old-fashioned preaching. Thank you for preaching Jesus. Your broadcast each week blesses me, speaks to my heart. Well, the reason it blesses him and speaks to his heart is because it's the Word of God. And when we preach the Bible. And the Holy Spirit takes it up, and he takes it to one person, and they got the blues. They're down. They're just down lower than a snake's belt buckle, we used to say. Really down. And he comforts hearts, and he blesses hearts, and he gives us courage, and he gives us help. That's the Holy Spirit. And then he's next door to the next house, and here's a guy, and he doesn't like God, and he's not wasn't afraid of hell or nothing else. So the Holy Spirit talks to him. He doesn't comfort him. He afflicts him. And he just, he takes the Word of God, and it says the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of soul, of spirit and soul, and the joints and marrow of the body. And so the Holy Spirit, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. And something else that God here. Old-fashioned preaching. Well, 97 years old, what do you expect to get? Old-fashioned preaching, you betcha. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. I'm not just of another generation. I'm from another century. And so you wouldn't want me to change, would you? No. Just you wish it could be a little better, but let's just stay with what we got here. And because it's the Word of God that counts. It isn't how it's given or anything like that. Just give it out, and the Holy Spirit will use it. Lincoln, Nebraska. Would like to have 3 DVDs of your film, one for my church, one for myself, and one for our condominium association to share with all 101 families who live here and can check it out in our library. Thank you. And here is a heart of a shepherd. And we've got several people. They've given them to the libraries in town, and they've given them to. And sometimes they take them to retirement homes, and they have them in there. And then you can watch it. People can watch it. Here's 101 families here, and one will watch it and say that wasn't too bad. Let's take another look at that old guy on there. And he accepted Jesus when he was 10 years old, and he's still at it. Boy, I want to see what that's all about. And you can share the good news. And then while they're there and they've got their mouth wide open listening, then we'll cram the gospel down their throat and they'll accept Jesus. You just might be surprised how many people are going to come to Jesus because of this film. Here's Oskaloosa, Kansas. I am a believer of our Lord Jesus. I've seen your ministry on the television on Sundays. I'd like to request your Bible study, a new song, your video, and I also want to send it to my mother, the video, Heart of a Shepherd. I've been in the Jefferson County Jail since February 1st. Blessings and thank you, God's girl. And so here she wrote a nice letter, how she knows Jesus. She's thinking about her mother. Well, we sent that to her mother, just like she once said. And then the new song, that's a little Bible study that we have every week. And the new song this month is The Harvest is Great. And it talks about the harvest of souls. And it'll bless you and it'll help you to be a blessing to others. And so we hope that you'll just write to us. Well, let me look at here. Champlin, Minnesota. And they're also thanking us for the good shepherd, or the heart of a shepherd. It's a true testimony of God's faithfulness, mercy, and love. I'm going to share it with a friend who is lost and needs to know Jesus. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. You get this film and you share it with somebody who doesn't know Jesus. That's what it's all about, because the film is about coming to Jesus, accepting Jesus, which we call an evangelistic film. And the whole thing is geared, come to Jesus, open your heart to Jesus. That's what she's doing. One more, and this is from a ladies' prison. Have watched your TV program. I get a lot out of watching and listening to your service. I wish I could send you funding, but I cannot. But would like to do Bible study that you have. May God praise you many times over for what you do. I'll be looking forward to hearing from you soon. And so they says, I cannot send money. Doesn't matter if you send money, you shouldn't send prayers. You pray for us. And we send this free and postpaid to prisons all over the United States and help them to come to know Jesus. Or if they're Christians, strengthen them so they can witness and they can be like St. Paul. They can be in prison and they can be witnessing to other people. And people were brought to Jesus through St. Paul's witnessing, and they'll be brought to Jesus through your witnessing. So, all right, now how do you write to us? You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We need some financial help. We need prayers and we need your gifts. And you know, and James says, you have not because you ask not. If we never tell you we have a need, you probably think, well, they got plenty. We'll give it somewhere else. Well, we need it. We're just like the dentist. We live from hand to mouth. And so we just have to count on you to carry us through. And so what you need to do is say, you ask the Lord, and said, now, dear Lord, should I give something to this work? And maybe if he says yes, then you say, how much? And you say that again. I don't know what he's going to say, but he'll tell you what he wants you to give, because our only source of income is God's people. And then if you want to get our website, and it tells all about us, God's pictures of musicians, nice-looking people and all, and it has some of our sermons and devotions, a wonderful thing. And on that Christian Worship Hour, ChristianWorshipHour.com, you can also send a gift. We got a gift from the Philippines the other day, and they use their currency. They put it in this ChristianWorshipHour.com. Comes to us, and it comes in American currency, and we pay our bills. So I hope that you'll write to us, and we'll send you the new song. Now let me give it again for all of you people on shortwave radio. Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now Jan's going to play. I'm going to pray, first of all. Then she's going to play. And then you pay, you give as God leads. God leads, and if you do that, we'll always have enough. So, dear Lord, thank you for these wonderful people. Thank you for these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Before we read the scripture, I forgot to mention something in the announcements, and that is we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and that means they audit our books, so whatever you send is going to all go to the ministry. Don't want to forget that. We're reading from Galatians chapter 6 today, and then in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Kuwait. Every week, we pray for a different country or area. And so today, we're going to pray for Kuwait. But we're looking at Galatians chapter 6, if you have your Bibles. And you look to chapter 6, beginning with the first verse. Paul writes, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth of the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them who are the household of faith." And so let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these scriptures that tell us that we're to bear one another's burdens. We have our burdens of our own, but we're to help other people. And that we are to and never become weary in well-doing, but just to always be at the work, helping others and serving others in Jesus' name and giving all the glory to Jesus. And, oh, Lord, today we're praying for the persecuted church in Kuwait. And our hearts just go out to them because they're part of our family. They're part of our heritage. We have the same head, Jesus Christ. We have the same baptism of the Holy Spirit and baptized into the body of Christ. We have the same home as heaven is our home. And we're going to be the family. God's all going to be together. They're all scattered all over the world now, and some in heaven, some on earth. And someday we'll all be together around the throne of God. And oh, dear Lord, if there are people listening, and I know there are, I know it as sure as the world, there are those that haven't opened their heart to you. And in this service today, help them to know that you love them and you want them to come and help them to come. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before the message, Melissa has a song, "Don't Try So Hard." I don't know if that's mean to me or what. We'll have to listen and see.
Another Monday comes, I just wanna breathe. 'Cause it's a long, long week for someone wired to please. Keep taking my aim, pushing it higher. Wanna shine bright, even brighter now. Wish I could tell myself, don't try so hard. God gives you grace and you can't earn it. Don't think that you're not worth it, because you are. He gave you his love and he's not leaving. Gave you his son so you'd believe it. You're lovely even with your scars. Don't try so hard. Do you remember when the summers felt like we were kids. Didn't think much about it, we just lived. Taking our time, beautiful leisure. When did we start trying to measure up? When all of this time, love has been trying to tell us, don't try so hard. God gives you grace and you can't earn it. Don't think that you're not worth it. Son, so you'd believe it. You're lovely even with your scars. Don't try so hard. Don't try so hard. God gives you grace and you can't earn it. Stop thinking that you're not worth it. Because you are. He gave you his love and he's not leaving. Gave you his son so you'd believe it. Lovely even with your scars. Lovely the way you are. So open up your lovely heart. Don't try so hard.
Well, thank you, Melissa, and that's a good thought, and it's a good teaching that we do the best we can and then give it to Jesus. There's some people that are always putting themselves down, and they're always worried, and they're always afraid they're doing the wrong thing, not serving God the way they should. But you just do the best you can, and God knows when we're doing our best, and that's all he asks. When you're around some people, they want you to do the impossible. But when you're with Jesus and with God, he knows when you're doing your best. And we're none of us perfect, and we'll never be perfect until we get to heaven. And so when you make your mistakes, you ask him to forgive you. And God says, my grace is sufficient. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And I'll be help you in all the way. You have Jesus. You just rest in him and do the best you can. Well, we're going to talk about burdens today, and there are two statements that we're looking at, taken from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, and verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, bear ye one another's burdens. And then in the fifth verse, it says, every man shall bear his own burden. And so there's, oh, God made a mistake here. God contradicted himself. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God never contradicts himself in that Bible. And if you've got something that looks like a contradiction, it means that you're not studying it right. You're not looking at, or you're not reading it right, or you're just looking for trouble and you're making something up. Because God doesn't talk out of both sides of his mouth at the same time or any time. And so he says here, he's talking about our own burden and then the burden of others. And it simply means this. When he talks about our own, another burdens, it's talking about social burdens. And we must help people to do that and lift them along. So in our society, among peoples, we walk among people. They have burdens. We're to help them out. But then when he talks it in the next verse, he's talking about an individual burdens and some of the burdens we carry ourselves, like St. Paul carried the thorn in the flesh. And it was something just for him to do. And so let's look at these two. First of all, let's look at the burdens that we cannot share. There's some burdens that are just for us. Every man should bear his own burden. We can't give it to somebody else. For instance, the first burden we'll talk about is maybe individuality. That is, no man liveth unto himself. The scripture says, of course, that it is true. And yet, strangely enough, there's a sense in which no man can live any other way than himself alone. By that I mean, regardless of whatever relationships he has with others, he never ceases to be himself. And you can be with 1,000 people, and I've been in Minneapolis when I went to Bible school, thousands of people, I was so homesick I didn't know what to do. I was among 1 million people, I don't know, not 1 million, but it seemed like 1 million, the people everywhere, stepping on them. And then, but I'm all by myself, see? So for the thoughts, for instance, may run through our mind, influenced by others, of course. And so we have thoughts that are our own. All alone we carry these thoughts, we deal with these thoughts. Sometimes it has to do with pain, and we can't give it to somebody else. And St. Paul, as we mentioned just a moment ago, he has this thorn in the flesh, and it was for him, for him alone. And there's nothing he can do about it but carry it. And he never complained about it. He rejoiced in it. And so our dreams that we have for ourselves and our loved ones and our business and our church and whatever, some of our dreams are all alone. And so that's how we live, some of us, all of us, you know, some degree, all alone. And from this point of view, I say each of us may be said to live alone. We have to battle alone. We have to suffer alone. We have to agonize alone. And finally, we have to die alone. And so the burden we cannot share with anyone, the burden of individuality, the burden of ourself. Or you could say we all have the burden of responsibility. And that's the word of God is explicit enough. And it tells us over and over that we are our brother's keeper. We are responsible for our brother. And that is a responsibility that we have. And we can't give that responsibility to anybody else because I have that responsibility and I can't shovel it off on somebody else. Even if we were to leave the Bible out of the picture, the fact is that deep in the breast of people, in the heart of man, there are those things that tell us, I really ought to do this. Whether you do it or not is another matter. But we have those thoughts. I ought to help this person. I ought to do this for this person. But we don't get around to it. And godless man will never know from whence we came and what we go through unless we have take our place with them and sit with them and work with them. Modern man prides himself in his cleverness, and that cleverness borders on downright devilishness because it makes him so that he ducks the problems. He doesn't take his responsibility. He doesn't help the person next to him. And God is looking to them, and God is watching to see how we do that. I read this story not long ago, and it's a story that happened years ago. It was written by Walter B. Knight, and this is 50 years or so ago. But the story is the same and just as meaningful. There was a man named Charles N. Crittenden, and he had made about $500,000 in business. So you can say maybe he had $4 million in today's money. He had $500,000 in business. And one day he had a beautiful daughter. And one day God took that little girl home. She was the idol of his heart, and he was heartbroken. And little Florence was taken home to be with God. And so the Crittenden lived in Chicago. He rode on these elevated trains. And one time he was coming along, not after a little after the funeral, and came along and he thought, oh, my little daughter Florence, I know she's safe, I know she's sound. And then the thought came to him, but I wonder about what other pastors, what other people's daughters there might be. I wonder about other girls in this great city of Chicago. I wonder how they're getting along. I wonder if they need help. And so he said, I've gone to do something about it. And so he gave $10,000 to a rescue mission for fallen girls in the city. $10,000. And then he thought about those girls so much that the next year he gave $11,000 to that work. And he couldn't get it out of his mind. He thought of those girls struggling and taken advantage of and suffering and going astray and the awful things that some of them were facing. And finally, he capitalized all of his money. He sold it all, and he put the rest of his life, helping girls in the great city of Chicago and other cities. And so here's a man who lived for himself, and he had his own business, and he was just happy. And all of a sudden, God touched his life, and he saw the needs of others, and he saw that he was his brother's keeper, and he began to minister to them in Christ's name, and he was facing his responsibilities. That was a responsibility that God put upon his shoulders, and he was man enough to sell all and to give all and to answer that call that God gave him. We should not look upon this. We should always look upon these burdens that come upon us, not as something evil, but as something beautiful, something we can do or we can change lives and we can help others and we can honor God. There is a service that God, we have to render in this life, that you have to render and that I have to render, and we have to do it all alone. Somebody else can't do it for us. It's in our court. You see, dear friend, no one can do some of these things that God puts to us. For instance, no one can confess my sins for me. And as much as I'd like to do it for some people, and I know parents who have wayward children, and oh, they would confess those sins for them if they could, but they can't do it. It's an individual thing that we have to answer. It's our responsibility. We have to confess our own sins. No one can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for me. I have parents that write and they say, oh, try to see my daughter, try to see my son. They're going to college there. And see if you can contact them. And we try the best we can. Sometimes we make it and sometimes we don't. But that we can't do it for them. They can't accept Jesus for them. They have to do that themselves. And that's what you have to do. And there may be some home and the husband hasn't accepted Jesus and the wife has. And you say, well, how come you put the husband as unbeliever? I've been in this ministry now in the 75th year. And 9 times out of 10, the women come to Jesus before the men. I don't know why, unless they have a more tender heart or more open to the Lord or something. I don't know. That's my experience. It may not be different for you, but usually that woman is there and she's praying for her husband. But she can't. She would do anything for him to put his faith in Jesus. And she would do anything for him to go to church with her. But she can't do it. He has to do it. And if he's ever going to have Jesus in his heart, and if he's ever going to be saved, if he's ever going to be saved from hell, he has to make that choice. No one can do it for him. And that's, so we have that burden. We have it all alone. We're all alone in that. We can carry the burden of others a lot of different ways, but there's only one way that's with some of these responsibilities. It's mine. It's mine alone. It's mine to bear. There's no one else to help me carry it. And try as you want, there's no escape from it. Be sure you understand full and well that this is my own, is all my own. My friends, remember this. The sins we commit are all our own. I can't shove it off on my wife or somebody else. The sins I commit are my own. I could wish them on someone else, but no, they are mine alone. Some people try to blame their sins on their parents, and they say, well, I was raised this way, and that's why I'm so bad. My parents failed me, and I didn't raise me right, and that's why I'm the way I am. You can't pass it off. You may do that in kindergarten, but when you come to the age of accountability, it is your decision, and you don't hide behind your parents. It'll never work. It will never work. My folks didn't raise me right, they say. They didn't show me the way. And I've been in the work calling on people. And I'll go to one house, and I'll say, they don't go to church. And in those days, I'd urge them to come to church. And I'm urging you to go to church, too, where they preach the gospel. And I'd stop in this house, and I'd ask them and try to get them to come. And they say, oh, I'll tell you what happened to me, Pastor. When I was a kid, my folks made me go to church, and they made me Sunday school. And they pushed me, and I just am sick of it, and I don't go anymore. And so I go to the house next door, and I talk to them. And you know what the guy will say? He'll say, well, my folks never went to church. I never got in the habit, so I don't go. See, well, you can just hide so long, but when you see that great God Almighty, you're going to be at the man like the man in the parable of the marriage feast. And when the king came to him and said, how come he didn't have that garment? How come he didn't prepare? The man was speechless. And you may have a lot of excuses now, and you may talk to the preacher and get off half good real easy. But when you meet God Almighty, you won't say a word. Because it is your life and it's your sin. And someday you're going to stand all alone in the judgment. You won't be able to hide behind anybody else. The Bible tells us neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight. But all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4, verse 13. No, the sins we commit are ours, ours all alone. So those are the burdens we have alone. Now the burdens that we help with other bear, it says, bear ye one another's burdens. There is a loneliness to life that is that sure, but there's also relatedness of where we interact with other people and we brush up against them and we see their heartbeat and we see where they're at and we see their sorrows. And so when we say, oh, I'm opening my heart, I'm going to help this person, I'm going to be a blessing to this person, I'm going to encourage him or her. And oh, if it wasn't for friends like that, well, where would we be? And there are a lot of aching hearts in this world, I'm going to tell you, friends. And there's a lot of lonely people in this world. And somebody needs to reach out to them and touch them and help them. We are individuals, but we have a relationship one with the other. And the old Latin proverb has it, one man is no man at all. You're not alone. You're with all others and touching the lives of others. There's no place on the face of the earth where the feeling of mutual dependence and mutual need is not needed. It's a place, and they need the help, for instance, to tell them of the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ for them, and how that he died for them or gave his life for them. Or here you can take this film that we've been promoting all the time, and we're sending it out free and postpaid if you don't have any money. And you can sit down and show them that film and tell them how to come to Jesus. Tell them that God loves them. Jesus loves them. He wants them to come to him and open their heart to him. And you can't say it. Maybe you don't know how to preach. I don't know how to preach. Half the time I'm thinking myself. And you say, I don't know how to witness to people. Well, you can just have them come in and say, I'd like you to see this film. It's about an old guy. And an old geezer, what? Call me anything you want, see? And you say, I want you to see this picture. And they'll come and they'll watch it, and we'll jam the gospel down their throat, and the Holy Ghost will take it, and he'll talk to their heart, and he'll pierce them, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it'll cut into their heart, and they'll open their heart to Jesus. Many of them will, see? That's what we're to do, and so we're to help each other. Whenever you see a rift among people, you can find that there's the devil there, and he's fighting against the things of God and the works of God, and he'll do everything he can to keep you away, but you come to Jesus, and you give them to Jesus. See, there's a burden of it's caring, it's ministering. You see that brother, see that sister, see that young person just now overtaken in a sin, and Paul says, you that are spiritual. And we all like to think we're spiritual, don't we? Oh, my goodness. I sure like to think that. But, boy, when I get to reading about Jesus, I'm not so hot at all. Because that's when we have people, and they'll say, are you a good man? Well, I'm better than so-and-so. And they pick out some poor old scoundrel, you know, the worst man in town. And they say, well, I'm better than he is. Well, I say, are you better than Jesus? Measure up to Jesus. That's who you need to measure up. Don't measure up against the pastor or your wife or your husband or anybody else. You measure up to Jesus. And then you'll see who you are. And then you come and say, oh, I want to be like that. I want to have Jesus. And so maybe people have drifted away. Once they loved Jesus, once they were once walking with him, something happened and they drifted away. And so you can talk to them, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. And when you go to them, you can tell them, you know, I know how you feel. I've drifted from Jesus too. And I found out that he'll take me back. And he opened his arm just like the father with the prodigal son. And he opened it and he took me to himself. And now I belong to him. And then there's also this ministry, this burden of bearing of sympathy, where we can help people that are going through through hard times. Maybe they have great sorrow. Maybe they have, some people do have hard, awful hard times in life. And so you just have to go to them and talk to them and help them lead to know the Lord. And this wonderful thing about it is this. When you talk, you say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, do like the little girl. And she went over to the neighbor because her husband had just died. And the wife who lost her husband told her about the little girl. And she said she didn't do anything. She just came over, sat on my lap, and gave me a hug. Well, you probably can't sit on everybody's lap and give them a hug, but you can just say, I'm sorry, or just be there and help them see. That's the wonderful ministry we have. But the main thing is we need to share Jesus. Share Jesus. In the closing portion of this chapter, Paul says, he talks about in verse 14, the cross of our Lord Jesus. In verse 17, the marks of the Lord Jesus. Verse 18, the grace of the Lord Jesus. And then in Psalm 52, 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, he shall sustain thee. That's the great promise. That's the great joy to know Jesus, this wonderful Savior. Someone has written the word and talked about the parable of tomorrow. And they talks about how there was somebody to help. It'll make a difference. They say, I looked at the mountain. It's too hard, Lord. I said, I cannot climb it. Take my hand, he whispered, and I'll be your strength. I saw the road. It is too long, Lord. It's so rough and it is long. Take my love, Jesus answered. I will guide your feet. I looked at the sky. The sun is gone, I said. Already it grows dark. Take the lantern of my word of God, he whispers. I'll show you the light. We climbed, and the road was narrow and steep, but the way was bright. And because the Lord Jesus is there, share that Jesus. Because Jesus came, and he did it all because he loved us. And he gave himself on the cross. And you can tell them he did that for you. I run into people so many times and they think they've sinned so much that they can't come to Jesus. If he knew all the sins of mine, this somebody was telling me, God would never take me back. But you know what God says? Although your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And it was St. Paul who said, oh, I've had a terrible past. He says, I've caused people to blaspheme. I've put Christians to death. And I was there when they stoned godly Stephen. And I consented to it and I rejoiced. And he went around arresting people and putting him in jail. And if he'd say, renounce Jesus Christ, blaspheme Jesus Christ. And if they wouldn't do it, he'd put them to death. Saul of Tarsus. And Saul of Tarsus came to know Christ. And he became one of the great apostles. And Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the chief of sinners. But God saved me. He'll save you. And right now he's talking to your heart. He's saying, I want to come into your heart. But I can't come in unless you ask me. And so you say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I just ask you to please come into my heart and take away my sins. I'll turn from those sins, Lord, best I can. And thank you, Lord. Now, you're never going to be perfect. You're going to fall. And I've sinned every day in one way or another. And I just ask Jesus just to forgive me, Lord. And you know how many times he'll forgive you? A million times. So you write to us now, and we'll send you literature. Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We need your prayers and we need your help. And if you have accepted the Lord, and I know all over the world you're accepting the Lord, and a short wave will send you information on starting out in the Christian life. We want to do that. We want to help you with your burdens. And you can then go out and help others. So we're going to pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for the multitudes of people that are asking you into their heart right now. We rejoice. And Lord, we pray for them and we pray for those on beds of sickness And we pray for those who sorrow over a loss of a loved one. We pray for the little children that are having troubles and the young people, Lord, with a million different temptations. Oh, help them to know that you love them. You're not willing that any should perish. You want them to come to you. Help them to know that and help them to come right now. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, may multitudes come. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are. I'm going to give the address again. All you shortwave people, oh, we want to hear from you. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you write to us, and we'll just rejoice, and we'll carry on. And next week, we'll be back. And next week, we're going to talk about prayer. And when God says no to our prayers, has he ever said no to your prayers? That's what our subject's going to be next week, of this wonderful, wonderful Savior, this wonderful Heavenly Father. He loves you. And if he said no, there's a reason. So you tune us in. You'll pray for us and we'll pray for you. And always remember, God loves you no matter what your sin is. He hates a sin. He loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. God knows I love you. I wish I could preach better. I wish I could be more understood or whatever it is. I wish I could do it so you come to Jesus. You got to have Jesus. And then just trust him. And he'll never leave you or forsake you. So until next week, we're praying for you. You pray for us. Don't forget that letter. And God bless you, everyone. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.